We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. In some editions, this is the 15th Mishnah. In some editions, this is the 11th Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar HaModai Yomer. Rabbi Elazar HaModai says, HaMchalel Et HaKodashim, one who desecrates the holy foods of the temple. How does he desecrate it? Either he doesn't treat it as holy, or he goes beyond the guidelines, meaning one is permitted to eat it only up to a certain time, and after that it gets disqualified and must be burnt, or within certain parameters, and one thinks he's going to eat it outside those parameters, outside the temple or outside Jerusalem, depending on the level of holiness, and that also disqualifies the sacrifice. So we're going to give a long list of actions that all of these, even if a person has Torah and good deeds, he does not have a portion in the world to come. So the first of this list is one who desecrates the holy foods of the temple. The second is Amvazeta Moadot, one who derides the Chol HaMoed. How did they translate Mevazeh?
Who neglects.
Okay. V'amalbin pnei chavero barabim, and he who shames his friend publicly. And one who annuls the covenant of Abraham, either he doesn't circumcise himself or his son, or he tries to pull back the skin to look as though he was uncircumcised. And one who reveals things in the Torah against the halacha, he tries to give interpretations that counter halacha. For any one of these actions, even though a person might have Torah that he's accomplished, he might have good deeds that he's accomplished, nonetheless, he has no portion in the world to come. The Talmud tells us in Sanhedrin, says in the verse, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza, the person has derided the word of God, that mitzvato yifar, and he has undone God's mitzvos, yikaret yikaret anef shei avon haba. The verse says that person gets cut off, and from this verse, Rabbi Elazar taught us these halachos. The Talmud tells us in Sanhedrin, this verse that describes a person who derides the word of God, who is going to be cut off from the world to come, that is the source for Rabbi Elazar HaModai's Mishnah. What is the common thread of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seemingly puts together things that are detached. What's their connection? And I think that the connection is the attitude of Biza, a derisive attitude. Hashem is described as lo biza v'lo shikatz enutani. Hashem does not deride. Hashem is not disgusted with the impoverished state of those that are poor. Even the people on the lowest rung, those people are people who Hashem has care for. And not only are those people included in Hashem's compassion, but we state numerous times that Hashem looks at them first. That Hashem gives them special care. They have a special place by Hashem. Most people, when they think of who to honor, so they think of their wealthy neighbor. They think of the politician. They think of the people that are held in high regard in society. And Hashem is described as ve'et daka u'shfal ruach. Hashem is with those that are low, that are on the bottom rung, the dormant. Who do you invite to the wedding? Who do you leave outside of the wedding? You give a donation to the organization. Give him something to eat. Hashem says, but I'm with him. I'm with that guy at the door. And if you're not with him, then you left me at the door too. Hashem is described time and again as being with the underdog. Hashem is always with the guy who's being stepped on. What does it say in the song of Chana? What does it say in Tehillim? Me'ashpot yarim evyon. Hashem goes to the dumps and takes the impoverished and picks them up. Hashem is always looking at the underdog. And our Mishnah is describing an attitude that is antithetical to God's attitude to the world. It's an attitude of derisiveness. It's a person who's willing to mock others. And our Mishnah is telling us that a person has to develop the attitude that we are taught in the Mishnayos, al tivaz lechol adam. No person should be derided. No human being. Human being. It doesn't say Jew. It says human being. we are repeatedly taught that our treatment of mitzvos, our treatment of God's word, is going to be or should be reflected in our treatment to our fellow man. We see this all the time. This concept we see firstly in Adam HaRishon doesn't have appreciation for his wife, and from that he devolves into lack of appreciation for God. What does he say when God asks him what you do? So he says, she, the woman, you gave her. And how does the pasuk describe the people who built the Tower of Babel in a rebellious way, in a thought to rebel against their creator? It says God went down to see the actions that were started by Bnei Ha'adam. The pasuk is specifically stressing there are the descendants of that same Adam who had no appreciation for his wife. From lack of appreciation for the gift that he was given his wife, it can devolve to a situation where there's total lack of appreciation to the point of war against the Creator. It goes hand in hand. When a person has holy foods, he has a sacrifice, and he's told there's a guideline. He has to finish eating it by midnight, by 1 day, by 2 days. And then he lets it go. So that's the first stage of being derisive. That's when a person is just lazy. He's lazy. He knows that the neighbor is going to come into the house and see the mess, and his wife is going to be upset. And he's like, okay, well, there's a mess. People live that way. The first step is mechalel takodashim. Person has holy foods, and he doesn't actively do something to destroy them. He just lets the time pass, and when the time passes, okay, no. So they get disqualified. But the truth is, where does it stem from? It's because he doesn't have real appreciation for his creator. If God were important to him, then the food that God says shouldn't be destroyed would also be important to him. How do we apply this in our life? Well, what's the antithesis of laziness? Zrizut, doing things with alacrity. A person always has to try to be a person who does things swiftly. And it applies to everything. What's the classical scene of breakfast? The husband's with his magazine, with his newspaper, with a cup of coffee, and the wife is chattering all the time, and he's, yes, dear, sure, dear. What'd you say? Yeah, I hear. Yes, fantastic, excellent. The coffee was great. Thank you very much. Interesting article. Did you say anything I should remember? Puts down the newspaper. Where is she? Where is he? When we want to do something, since it's very important to us, you know you got to go to work, but you think there's a sale, and maybe today you'll be able to get that thing you want to get, so you sit down on that laptop, you sit down on the internet, you spend another 2 minutes, and you tell yourself, I'll catch the next bus, I'll run, I'll take the shortcut, I'll get there. What's important to us, we find time for it. Even at the expense of things that should really be more important. What happens when our spouse asks us for something? I gotta go, I don't have time, now you know I'm concentrated on something else, give me a minute, talk to me in 5 minutes. What's the attitude? The Mishnah is teaching us an attitude. When the Mishnah says, he who mechalel et hakodashim, he's not actively doing something to desecrate the holy foods. He's just letting the time pass by. He's busy doing other things. I don't have an appetite now. Your wife made you something, you have an appetite, you eat. But it doesn't taste good. No one said it should taste good. She worked, she made it, eat it. It doesn't taste good, so put on jelly. Eat it with a lot of bread. I don't care. She worked, she made it, eat it. And I'm not talking about levels of tzitkus. I'm talking about basic, elementary, simple. She went out, she bought the food, she cooked the food, she worked hard making it. Eat it, put a smile on your face. But I don't like it, but she burned it. I understand. So I understand that we're used to serving ourselves our whole life. Everything is about me and what I like. But so this one time, I'll do something that she likes. I could once in my life, I could be a decent human being. You know, they asked Rav Aryeh Levine, is he one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim? We have a tradition that God never leaves the world without 36 tzaddikim. Sometimes they're hidden. So Rav Aryeh Levine answered, sometimes. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's you. It's not the same 36 people every moment. So for that moment, I'll be one of them. You'll be one of them. And we also have to remember that we have moments which we're really acquiring building blocks in our relationship. We have moments where we're destroying the home we're trying to build. There was a couple where the wife burnt the chon, the first Shabbos. And the husband took a bite. And the wife can't forget that. He's apologized many times. And she can't forget it. Now go explain it to her. It has nothing to do with logic. It's a feeling. So the question is attitude. We have to remember the Mishnah is teaching us an attitude. It's not specifically the action. When I deal quickly, I'm showing an attitude. You guys can take a very simple example from the last 10 days. Take the 3 days before Bein HaZmanim. When did we wake up? Take the day of the trip. When did we wake up? Somehow when it's something that interests us, we could get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go out there and do it and have a good time. We're not so tired. Somehow when we're... it always blows me away. When we finish learning here, so I always ask myself, why don't I learn another hour? But I'm too tired, I gotta get to sleep. Do I get to sleep during that hour? I don't get to sleep during that hour. But if I'm doing other things that interest me, I could go on for another 3-4 hours full steam ahead. Why? Because the question is, what interests us? Things that interest us, things that grab our attention, things that excite us, we treat them a certain way. And we have to know that Judaism keeps on teaching us that don't always wait to be inspired. Act inspired and you'll become inspired. A person will say, but I don't feel like doing it. Right. Act as though you feel like it and you will feel like it. Act as though you love and you will love. Fake it till you make it. That's what Maimonides says in his introduction to Pirkei Avos.
Let's say, act who you want to marry. And
act who you want to be. The way to acquire a trait is to act as though you have that trait, says the Rambam. In the beginning, you'll be faking it, and with time, you'll acquire the trait. People sometimes tell me, of course I have to get divorced. I don't love her anymore. So what? It's not a reason to get divorced, so you don't love her. So act as though you love her, and with time, you'll learn to love her. But I didn't get married in order to learn to love her. Then you didn't get married in order to be married. Marriage is about learning how to love. It's about learning how to build a relationship. You want to learn, so learn. Act. Make believe. With time, it'll become real. Yes, I'm not telling you guys to marry the first girl you date. Remember, this isn't a dating class. You try to find the person you're excited about. You try to find the person who you match with. You try to find the person who you think you could build well with. And after all is said and done, normal married life leads one to a certain pit hole. There are bumps in the road. And at some point, you tell yourself, wait a second, this requires work. And the answer is yes. Marriage requires work, and it's normal, and that's the way it works, and it's fine. That's a normal marriage. You work on it, and it works well. It takes time, but it works well. It's the sweetest thing in the world. But it requires work. It requires investment. A person could view his wife as the maid. It's a very good investment. One little piece of metal. I don't care that gold is now at $1,400. It doesn't matter. It's still a good investment. Look at what you get. She does the shopping, she does the cooking, she does the cleaning. You get a lot for that little piece of gold. Every year they have a statistic in the United States that comes out. How much is the average housewife's work worth? Last time I saw it, it was at about $74,000. $74,000. $74,000 per year. $74,000 per year. So it's a pretty good investment. You're getting excellent return on your money. No. The next line in the Mishnah tells us, Hamvaze et amadot. When a person can be derisive, it begins with little things. It begins with things where he's not active. It's just letting the time tick by. So she asked me to keep an eye out on the thing she put in the oven. She was cooking, and I was focused on the internet, and I forgot. I'm so sorry. And then it goes on to the next thing, which is where a person is actively derisive of things that are to his own benefit. Hashem gave us a moed. What's a moed? It's chol hamoed. We have the holiday of Sukkot, the first day. We have the eighth day. And then we have 7 days in between, 6 days in between, right? 1 and 8 and 6 in between. Pesach, 1 and 7 and 5 in between, right? Those 5 in between or 6 in between, what are they? They're called chol hamoed. What are they? Are they a weekday or a holiday? So they're something in between. Hashem gave us that period as a time where we could learn, where we could build our family relationships, where we could build our relationship with our neighbors. We spend time with our family and our friends. Is it chol or is it moed? Well, that depends on you. The Mishnah tells us, "Hamvazet ha-moedot," one who derides the moedot does not have a portion in the world to come. That's our Mishnah over here. What's a person doing when he derides the chol ha-moed? He's focusing on the chol. And the same thing is within marriage. What am I focusing on? She's a good maid, or she's an excellent partner for life. In everything, both are true. It's not that one is true and the other is a lie. Chol ha-moed has the chol aspect to it. Every wife has an aspect that she's really a good investment. It's not a lie. But the question is that my attitude? Is that what I'm seeing here? Or am I seeing a tremendous individual who's my partner in life, who's a tremendous person? What am I looking at? Am I looking at the chol or am I looking at the moed? And the truth is, if you think about it deeply, Chazal tell us, he who gives honor is an honorable person. Our attitude is really revealing as to who we are inside. A person who walks by the doorman and doesn't treat him nicely, a person who doesn't treat the cashier at the supermarket nicely, a person who doesn't treat the people who are called simple, well, he's really revealing what he's like inside. Why does he feel he could treat that person that way? Why is that person any less than him? What's really being revealed is what's wrong with the person himself. A person could treat the other one not fairly, but really he's treating himself. He's really showing who he is. We once had a guy here in the Gear program that had a roommate. I have to be careful not to use foul language, and it's not easy. But his roommate, let's just say, didn't treat him nicely. And that's an understatement. And he really gave him a hard time. I didn't know about this till after the fact. Because he was in the conversion process. Okay? He didn't convert yet. And at one point, he came and told me what was going on. And I said to him, you know, I don't know if it's any comfort to you, but the truth, this isn't just a perspective, the truth is that the venom that's spewing forth is the venom that's this person. It has nothing to do with you. What you're seeing is a reflection of him. It is him. That's who he is. He's got a problem. You don't have a problem. He has a problem. I can't fix his problem. I could try to get you another room. I could try to get him another room. But I can't fix his problem. He's got a problem. What can I do? When a person derides someone else, what he's really revealing is how derided he really is. What is a moed? Hashem gave us a gift, something that's good for us. A time off. But when a person is derisive, he could go from a point of sitting back and letting someone else be shamed or letting that which is holy be desecrated to a point where he could even deride things that are to his own benefit. The chol hamoed is a gift to us. And then the Mishnah takes us to the next stage. And the Mishnah says, "Hamalbin pnei chavero barabim." One who shames his friend publicly. The Mishnah doesn't say another human being. It says his friend. You see where it can get to. He could shame his friend publicly. And it all begins with the attitude. How do I view? How do I view that which should be holy? How do I view the time that I was granted? And then it turns on my friends. How do I view my friends? And it really stems from the question, is a person healthy inside or is he rotten inside? Because what's really coming out when a person shames someone else is whatever's rotten inside of him. That guy didn't do anything wrong. I always try to have conversation with guards and people who are, or bus drivers People, everyone walks by and doesn't even notice their names. I try to get to know them by name and get to know who they are. And you discover fantastic people. Taxi drivers. How many people know a taxi driver by name? How many people have a taxi driver that know them by name? How many people know the doorman by name? You go to the supermarket every day, every other day. Do you know the guy by name? Does he know you by name? How about his worker there? Why shouldn't he? If you see him every day, why shouldn't you tell him good morning? He's a human being. And how do you tell him good morning? Do you know about what's going on in his life? Or am I too busy, or is he too low? Because if I told you that he's a multimillionaire and he's just on vacation doing that, how would you treat him? There was once a group of teachers that they were invited to partake in an experiment. And half the teachers were given a group. They were told this group is especially gifted children. And the other half were just a regular control group. Now, it just so happens that the children were all children who got the same test scores on everything. They were all average children. But the teachers who were told that they were being chosen to teach these gifted groups of kids, well, those kids soared. We treat people differently when we're told that. The final step, the Mishnah says, "Amefer brito shel Avraham Avinu," a person can cut himself off from the covenant that really unites the Jewish people. When I mock things, when a person is willing to be derisive towards things, it could reach a point where there's even a covenant that keeps him part of the people, and he could cut that off too. And the truth is that here I think we have an allusion to the source of all this. The source of all this, well, why does a person want to regain that little bit of foreskin that he lost at a circumcision? Because he wants the utmost pleasure at every moment of his life. He's egotistical. It revolves around pride, which we've discussed numerous times is rooted in falsehood. All of pride is falsehood. What am I taking pride in? Can I make myself see or blind? Am I the one that controls that? Am I the one that controls the acumen I was given? Am I the one that was controlled the IQ I was given? What's the difference between me and the guy running around half naked in the jungle in Africa? I was born here and he was born there. If I'd be there, I wouldn't be here. I have no way of getting here. So what am I taking credit for? For what? How much of it is my doing? There are so many circumstances that are beyond my control that allowed me to be here. And the truth is that what's behind it is desire. Lust. A person wants to enjoy everything now. And when a person wants to enjoy things now, so that's really laziness from investing in long-term pleasure, where the Torah keeps training us that the long-term pleasure is much greater. And the truth is that this goes hand in hand, and this is really equal to the final point, where a person is really disgusted with himself. And a person knows that he is living a constant compromise. A person that leads this life is well aware of it. I had the unfortunate opportunity to speak to numerous people who lead their lives this way. I told you guys the story a few weeks ago where the taxi driver started telling me about how he's cheating on his wife and the whole story. That wasn't the only story. I met a few people who are leading lives like that. And in all of them, they'll admit that they're pretty disgusted with themselves, but they enjoy it, meaning they realize their weakness. But look at where that brings them. So they're derisive towards their greatest partner in life. And it all stems, we saw an evolvement in our Mishnah. And the final straw of the Mishnah is how a person tries to cover it up. So he doesn't invest the time in studying, he doesn't invest the time in becoming learned, but he does want to show you that he knows something. So then the final straw is that he takes the Torah and starts showing you his inventions in the Torah, which is really a reflection of himself. The Mishnah concludes and says, "Megale panim b'Torah shelo ka'alacha." Person who reveals things in the Torah that have nothing to do with halacha. What are they a reflection of? That same rotten ego, that same unhealthy ego that can deride the other person. It begins in a simple laissez-faire attitude. I'm not getting involved. The holy food is, it's getting desecrated. Okay, I didn't do anything. Time just ticked. I didn't have an appetite. I didn't feel like eating her children. She didn't bake well. And then it evolved to deriding the times that Hashem gives us. And then it evolved to shaming his fellow man, his friend, not just the simple fellow man. And finally, annulling the covenant of Avraham Avinu, severing his connection for that short-term pleasure. He's willing to sever his connection with his people and with his Creator, and then he's not going to live and have everyone think he's not worth anything. So he says, no, I'll show you in the Torah. I'll explain it to you. Look, let me show you something I saw in the Torah. And then the Mishnah tells us, he could have real Torah under his belt. He could have real good deeds that he did. But the Mishnah says he has no portion in the world to come. I want to end on a good note, so we'll quickly learn the next Mishnah, even though we'll learn it again next week. Rabbi Shmuel teaches us you should be friendly to youngsters, to elders, and greet everyone with happiness. And the Rambam stresses on this Mishnah that the Mishnah is encompassing all of humanity. The Mishnah is not talking about a Jew or a non-Jew. The Mishnah is talking about a human being, Kol Adam. The human being, for the mere fact that he is a human being, deserves to be greeted with joy. Laila Tov.